All right, everybody, y'all ready for an AA meeting? My name is Kat, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers Meeting at the NABA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. Each individual in their own personal stories describes in their own language, from their own point of view, the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too, I must have this thing. And Scott is going to come up and say a little something about our speaker.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott, and I'm an alcoholic. And you guys are in for a real treat tonight. How did I describe Megan? Well, I was trying to point her out to a friend of mine at another meeting, and I was describing her, and he goes, "Oh, the badass chick." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's pretty much it. Badass is definitely a word that describes Megan. I've known her basically since I've been sober for 13 years. She moved back to Atlanta from out west where she was living. And I mean, normally my network, they told me to stick with the guys. And I did, but Megan's like, proves to be one of the exceptions to those rules. She's like my first real friend in sobriety. One of the first people I met where I didn't really have an agenda. I saw somebody in tremendous pain that for some reason, when we hung out together, seemed to get a little better. And there was kind of a group of us. She's great at getting people under her wings. Like, you can tell who she's sponsoring because she's always with them. She truly takes the alcoholic hand in hand and walks through with them on her journey. I mean, I've never met anybody who walks her talk. You know what I mean. She does what she says she's going to do. Like her. She's also like the youngest old-timer you'll ever meet.
He's done.
Come on. It is with great pleasure I give you Megan.
Way too much for being a badass. But you know, I'm just as scared as I'm sure you can hear me without this. I get bad at like talking into it, not so it's going to shift the level of how I sound to you, but you'll deal. So anyway, but he was like, you know, the badass. I'm like, oh my God, I'm still just as scared as like everybody else in this room, you know, not near as terrified as I was when I first came in Alcoholics Anonymous, thank God, due to AA and God and all that, but still just the nervousness. I was telling someone earlier, came up to me, was like, are you nervous? I'm like, always. I'm always nervous. I was coming down our back stairs, and it's raining, drizzling, whatever. They're wet and they're wood. And I was like, nah, I mean, it's worth a tumble. I mean, it's worth like an arm fracture to not have to go. You know what I mean? And I was like, God, you're still just nuts. You know, again, like fear still comes up, and it's like, girl, just get down the steps. Just get there and like pray for God to speak through you, and you just do you and be real, and that's all there is. And I like actually what you read too. I haven't heard that read before a speaker meeting, but that is my experience. Is I have found and formed and have and continue to cultivate, I think that's a good word to use, you'll see I'm very not educated, but to a relationship with God that is giving me my life and my sobriety today. So I love it, that's because that is AA to me. That's how I'm still on this planet. Anyway, so my sobriety date is August 18, 1997. I never say that, so I've got like, why am I saying that? I never say that when I'm up here. But anyway, that's when it is. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I have two older sisters, obviously mom, dad, and then they split up, so I have a stepfather. I took my first drink at 12. At that point, my parents had already, they're still full-blown alky, druggies, everything. So at that point, I already knew what that was. And I remember, you know, I'll talk a lot about this, the God within always being there and me just downplaying it or ignoring it or shutting it up or just moving on to something else or taking a drink or taking something to like numb it. But even then, when my parents would be doing those things in front of me, intuitively, like, I knew something was like off with that. I knew that's weird, that's strange, you know. And obviously for me, my experience with that was I was like in most alcoholics. I don't have children today, and obviously didn't have children while I was drinking. But one of you either relate probably end or like if you are an alky and you had kids, or vice versa if you were and you know a child and your parents are alcoholic. Anyway, was the just ignored whatever. So when I took that first drink. For me, it was, you know, some people are like, man, the drink's so bad. For me, it was awesome. I mean, I loved it. It instantly made me feel great. I was telling that Janet a week or so ago, and she started describing, like, how she felt when she took a drink. And I was like, that's exactly how I describe it every time I talk about it. I mean, the girl with, like, the face, the body, the man, the car, the money, the career, she could walk by me and be like, she ain't got nothing on me, man. You know, as long as I had that drink. Now, when I didn't have the drink, it was a whole different story. And then also towards the end of drinking, that didn't shut up, and that hence why it was either, you know, the jumping off point for me, either kill myself or get sober because the alcohol wasn't shutting that up anymore. So for me, it was great. I had a blast. I had fun with the people I hung out with. I was 12. They were all, of course, you know, 18 to 20. It was like, man, I had a ride, man. Like the older people, older dudes, you know, totally creepy, but that's my story. And so that's just, and that's what I wanted, man. As much attention as I could get, I was down for and whatever. And any kind of good feelings I could suck off of anybody or anything, I was going to do it. Because I needed it in order to, like, stay on this planet. And between me and me, I knew that when I laid my head down at night that I was a fraud and that I was, like, a scared, insecure little girl. I knew that. I wasn't going to tell y'all that or let that be known. But, like, I felt that, you know. I think if I didn't feel that even today in working with new people, when that little piece, like, isn't really there, I'm like, dude, you're on death's doors. Like, your soul is, like, almost tapping out of here. So for me, I like always felt that. Anyway, so off the rip, I was ready. And at this point, you know, it's funny because I remember thinking when I was a little kid, like I never wanted to be an alkie. I never wanted to live that way. I thought it was so disgusting. And how could my parents pick that over me? Because I would have to like knock on the door to ask questions, and they had to like put up the dope, you know, and then I had to stand outside, and then I'd get my one answer, and then go okay, and they'd shut the door, and me and my sisters would go and do our own little life, you know, we never ate dinner together, all that stuff. So that I was like, I never want to be that, and I guess once I took that drink, I knew why they did what they did, and they wanted to feel that way all the time too. So that's what I did. I instantly was really good at soccer, and that became, I mean, obviously secondary. It was like the alcohol and the guys, and that's what I wanted to do. And it then started dictating very quickly for me who I was going to hang out with, what I was going to do, what I was willing to do or not do in order to get it. And lines were just being crossed all over the place. All the things, again, like I said, I was like, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like my parents. And there I was just like them. And I was, like, disgusted by it. But again, at that point, probably about 15, 16, I was reading recently. I'm such a bad, like, big book thumper. Like, where is this and that? And there's something about, you know, at times, like, the beginning or some women or men. Like, I guess women become more, so they say. I don't think I'm that special. I think it kind of all break down the same way, so I'm not going to go like, we're no more algies first, you know. But it did. But anyway, the point of it, what I read was, and I like, you know, every time I read something, I'll like internalize something different or someone in the meeting. That's why I go to meetings. I'll hear something, I'm like, oh my God, duh, you know, like, duh, where have I been? I remember times being in AA, hell man, like a couple months sober driving, and I'm like, that's what they mean by like let go, like God, are you serious? But it would just happen to me. There's nothing I could like manifest. So anyway, I was reading this thing the other day, and it was talking about totally just lost it. That at some point, the very beginning, or maybe it's a couple years, at some point, like I have a choice if I'm going to take that drink or not take that drink. And for me, looking back at my history, it was pretty much off the rip. I would say there was a good like 6 months, 8 months where like I could take it, not take it, and then it started dictating and saying and telling and me doing anything in order to get it. Where the thought of obsession, I felt obsession, was so strong that it was just when I thought about it, I was going to do it. There was nothing else mattered, no school, no soccer, no man, like nothing else mattered but me getting that drink once the thought occurred to me. And so that was probably like 6 months, but I know everybody's a little different. Sometimes it's, you know, a couple years, sometimes it's off the rip. I guess some people, heavy drinkers, don't even ever have it. So anyway, but you know, for me, I probably like 16, I was just off to the races. I left home and that was a mutual agreement. I made my parents' house hot, so that was a mutual agreement. That girl, you got to get out of here. You're just too much. They have a lot of stuff upstairs, so they can't, you know, police can't come to their house. So they were like, we agree, you should leave. So I was like, great, 16, see ya. In the state of Georgia, you can, you know, sign out of high school at 16 and not go back. I don't know what it is now, but whatever it was, like 20 years ago. So I left school, left home, and, you know, even then I was like, you know, I'll finish school. Like, it's cool. Like, I got this, man. I'll just get, you know, whatever his name was, like, drop me off, you know. Like, it's cool. I'll just show up, do my schoolwork, and go home, you know. Then they were, like, in a hotel, and it was like, yeah, probably not going to school today. You know, I think I made it, like, 2 days, you know. And then I was like, anyway. But, again, at the time, man, I thought I was, like, cool, having fun. I really did a lot, even in AA. I would say it was, like, a year and a half. That I really got, I was never making those decisions. Like, I always thought it was, like, fun and cool, and I was a badass, or, you know, just something so stupid and just childish stuff. But looking back, I really just was not making those decisions. Like, I wasn't, the things that I did, some of the things I did, I never would have done unless I was under the influence of alcohol, or I had alcoholism had like kicked in, where nothing else mattered but me to set myself in a position to eventually be able to take a drink. That I just wouldn't have done a lot of things, and that was one of them. School, forget it. I remember looking at the going to the high school, it's like across the tracks, went to Decatur, and I looked at the, and I was like really, really good in soccer, and I was like, meh. I'm going to get drunk, man. Like, I just got no time for this, you know? Like, looking back, I just wasn't really making all those decisions. But I didn't know, again, any of that until I came into AA. And so needless to say, things got worse and worse for me. I obviously didn't have any money, didn't have a job. You know, I was thinking earlier today, I was like, and a friend of mine, he's sober now. We went to high school together. Like, he's like, you know, the first boyfriend or whatever in high school. Or not high school, it was like middle school, I guess. But he's sober, and we always laugh. It's like, hell, man, I didn't even have a chance. I mean, at the age of 12, I mean, it was just on, and for whatever reason, alcoholism just took hold of me, like, pretty rapidly, instantly. And it was, like, never going to, like, go to college, man, get a car. I know people are like, you know, they talk about the consequences of AA, like, man, I lost my wife, my house. My and to me, AA has nothing to do with alcoholism, first off. And secondly, like, even if it did, like, I just never had a chance to even, like, get any of that stuff. I was already not doing well. Just being able to like get up and not want to kill myself that day was like a plus. Like we get through a day of no like suicide thoughts and like not wanting to murder somebody. We're like doing pretty good. You know, the drugs and alcohol are still working for me. So I left home, did all that stuff, hung out with them and, had a guy at the time. We got sober together. Twice together. Yeah. So obviously, you know, he's buying everything. I'm living with him, and things are. I've always felt it. I don't know. I mean, like I always felt that something wasn't right. That I'm not living my life right. That this wasn't right. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean I, like, knew it and I'm just going to, like, change it, man, like, go have a good life. That, to me, that's alcoholism. Like, I knew something was offbeat and I still would take a drink and do all these things despite what I know is right and, like, to my core and my soul. And it was, like, and for a long time I would beat myself up for that, but now coming into AA and really sitting down with people for me to, like, understand what alcoholism was, like, I was powerless over that. Like, I didn't have a chance. Like, I was going to, like, do the things I knew weren't right because I have alcoholism, you know, in some way, some fashion, it was going to set me up to like be in a position to be able to take a drink. whether it was that day or a week from then. Like, the school just got in the way, man. I gotta go. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to wait until soccer practice is over. I want to get drunk now. So coming into this guy, he ended up, his dad ended up tracking us down somewhere at some hotel. And he's an alky, so I don't even know what the hell he was doing getting him. But whatever, you know how parents do. So he was like, oh, you're so messed up. So he, like, threw him in the car and then took him. And then, sitting there. And he calls from, like, charter or something. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get sober. I'm like, okay. You know, but again, like, the quiet little voices are, like, going off. Like, something's offbeat and I'm not happy. I'm not okay. And I was like, well, that's good for you. Like, good luck, you know, like, good luck for you. I hope it works out for you. And then as the, you know, a couple of days went by, and at this point, I mean, to get real honest, I mean, if I was going to take an honest stock of, like, where my life was, as much as I had alcoholism and want to get drunk, it was, the gig's up. Like, it's just not working. Like, I'm not cool. I'm, like, miserable in my own skin. When it's me and me, for whatever reason, I do a lot of thinking. Like, these moments of clarity is what they would call them when I got sober, would pop up when I was, like, in the shower. For, I guess, just alone time, man. It's just alone time. And it would just be so loud, man, that, like, this is so offbeat for me. Like, I should not be here. I should not be doing this. And then I would take a drink, and then it was quiet. Same old, same old. But I remember, like, four of those loud and clear for me. And two were in the shower, and then two were sitting on, when I was sitting on a bed. To me, coming into AA, looking back, having 20 years sober, to me, that's God. And it still is today, being an Alcoholics Anonymous. That little thing is me and God doing something, working something out, having a conversation, whatever. And it's, you know, today being an AA, it's my job to listen to that and take the action. Then it was, I mean, hell, man, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a self-centered. I don't know any of this, you know. It's just a rapid of, like, self-destruct. And so I was like, good luck to you, guy. And then a couple days later, I ended up going, all right, I ain't got nothing. So I went into charter by the skin of my teeth for my parents' insurance. And they weren't on team going into treatment. I sat down, I was like, hang up on her. You know, they don't want, again, to do anything with it. I mean, they had to look at themselves. I get it today. I hated them for a long time. But, I get it. Alcoholism is the hell of a thing. You will rough stomp over anything and everybody in order to be able to still take a drink. So I just happened to be, you know, a little girl in that picture for them. So I ended up going to charter, getting sober, and going to a halfway house at Turnaround. I would sit probably where that girl is in the pink shirt in the back. They came and they were like, you're like, you know, they take you to a meeting and you're like, okay. And at this point, I really did. There's a piece of me that really wanted to get sober. I mean, I knew, obviously, my life sucked, man. You know what I mean? It had anything. It was going nowhere. And so there was a piece of me, like, wants to get sober, but then I had alcoholism, which I don't even know what the hell alcoholism is. So I don't know that it's, like, wants me to take a drink. And it's going to, like, set me in positions and give me, you know, start talking, and I'm going to start wheeling and dealing because of my cute little reservations that I have. I don't even know what a reservation is, because, you know what I mean? I don't know what alcoholism is. I think it's just me, and I'm like, well, screw you guys. I'm going to get drunk. Like, that's how I viewed it. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to get drunk because I want to. You know? And really, it's like, you know? So I would sit in the back there, and I tried. You know, I looking back, I had no idea what AA was, what a step was, I have no idea. But I sat there, and I would sit in the back and not do anything and not talk to anybody. I think I had a sponsor. I'm going to say I had a sponsor. Clearly I didn't use a sponsor if I had one, so I'm sure they made me get one. So I had like 4 months and 2 days, and this chick had some alcohol, you know, in the halfway house, and I was like, no big deal. So I drank it, something had never really kicked in. It's a couple beers, we'll say, and it was on. Dude, I woke up the next morning, the obsession, the thought was already had been there, clearly, getting sober. Even this time, those thoughts of wanting to get drunk, trying to, like, wheel and deal, manipulate, you know, reservations, convince myself I need a drink, whatever. I have a feeling, you know. Even today, like, getting sober this time, that was like 9 months. So I know that was there at the 4 months and 2 days, mark two. But once I took that, ingested something, the obsession kicked in. I remember waking up that day and I was like, it is on. You know what I mean? I mean, it is on. Like, there's no to it. It is, I have to go get relief, and this is the way I'm going to get it. I have to take a drink. And the guy that I got sober with, I was with him that night to get, you know, those leaves or whatever from the halfway house, the weekend leaves. It's like, anyway, if you end up getting drunk and then you get it kicked out, you're like, well, of course I'm going to get drunk again, dude, if you kick me out. You know what I mean? But I mean, I get it, but it's like, I don't know, man. The real literature I read in AA talks about, like, even if somebody's, like, messed up, you still kind of help them out. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just, all right, good luck to you. Like, there's, like, clueless people walking around. You know what I mean? Like, what? But anyway, so that's why I love AA, because it's not treatment. It's not, you know, no one's trying to make money here or, like, protect people. It's like, anyway, so side note, we'll get there about my opinions of AA. And so I was, you know, the obsession kicked in. It was loud. It was there. And he was like, oh, no, we're going to be sober. And I was like, no, you might be sober. I'm not going to be sober, you know. So that took a little working on him, like we do with our little people that we, you know, have next to us. Took, you know, a couple hours, but then he was down. So off to the races I went for another, like, 9 months, probably like 8.5, 9 months. And at that time, you know, it talks about changing, like, beer to liquor to thing and deal in the big book. I tried that. It was just, you know, looked a little different than how they describe it. But I relate to the principle of switching from this to that to make it all work out. Like, if I just do that, it's not as bad as that, you know. Hence, to me, that's the principle that they're talking about in there. And so that's what I did. And then eventually, because I can't control it and I am, like, powerless, I will go to what I know gives me ultimate relief. And for me, that's what I did. I went into oblivion a couple months into that, trying to, like, muster up the willpower to, like, stay sober and, like, get a job, man, have my life together, pay my car payment, actually, like, have insurance, you know, like, do all these right things, like, and just there I went. And I had a friend that I knew that got sober, and somehow, I don't remember how I got back in touch with him. Because he was in a place where, you know, it's like, you can't talk to anybody if they're, like, getting drunk, you know? Like, some halfway house to do that, whatever. You can't talk to anybody. Like, I got sober, and they were like, even my family, they were like, no. And I'm like, what is, you know, looking back, I'm like, what in the craziness is that, man? That's, like, so not AA, but whatever. So I would, you know, again, I was sitting on my bed, and it had been probably 8 months. And I had, like, my AA books and everything, you know, on the nightstand, of course. I remember moving them once I got sober this time, and I was like, that's so weird. They were just there the whole time. I had this 8 months, and just, you know, walking by, like, whatever, didn't even acknowledge them. But I had that moment again on the bed. It was like, it was time to get sober. And I know for me, like, I didn't go, man, I just love me so much, I think it's time to get sober. You know, I've never had that. I still don't have that today to go, you know, when someone like, Scott, please sit down and stop talking about me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, dude, stop. But so even then, there's just no way. I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, so awesome. I think I'm going to get my life together, and yay! Something, that thought came to me. So I don't know how this guy ended up calling us or what happened, but I hooked up with him and went to a meeting. And at this point, it wasn't really about, I mean, don't get me wrong, I had ideas of, like, I want to, like, a better life, and, like, I want this relationship to get a little bit better with Chris, sure. But ultimately, it was like, I knew, even back to the first time, my life was on the line, but there was something inside of me that was like, maybe. I mean, just maybe. And I don't know if it was coming to NABA and sitting in the back. I don't know. But I knew there was some kind of, like, answer solution than, like, what I was doing. And I came in, and people instantly, the first meeting I went to this time, people gave me their numbers. People I was going through, obviously, you know, withdrawal and just nutso. And they would come pick me up the next day. This girl, I remember Katie Joyner, and she called me and she was like, hey, you want to go to me the next day? I was like, yeah, okay. But really inside, I was like, oh my God. Like, dude, she doesn't want anything from me. She doesn't want my man. She doesn't want my drunk. You know, she doesn't want anything from me. She's literally just trying to, like, help me. That right there alone just, I mean, it really did, like, rocked my soul that someone actually cared. And I went to a meeting with her and kind of piggybacked on her for a long time. And people were willing to sit down and talk to me and, you know, and describe alcoholism to me. Because for a long time, I just thought I sucked. Like, that's my problem. I just suck. I don't want to do anything. I just need to, like, pull it together. You know what I mean? Go back to school. Get my GED. All these things were then going to, like, I just needed to do and then I would be okay. And they would talk to me about, no, you just need to stay sober and all those things would work out. I wanted to talk about everything else but, you know, like getting sober and understanding alcoholism. And they, I mean, that's my understanding of like 12-stepping and being in AA is like spending, like Scott was saying, like spending time with people. That's what people did for me. They like picked me up. They spent hours and hours talking to me about Alcoholics Anonymous and AA and my feelings, you know, and they would straighten me out. They'd go, cool, it's just a feeling, you know. And sometimes I'd be pissed off there, you know, and I'd be like, I'm about to call my sponsor. I'm like, please don't answer the phone. Please. You know, then it was always like voicemail, you know, or whatever, answering machines, you know. And it was like, please don't answer the phone. You know, because I'm so nuts, man. Like, I don't even know where to start, you know. And then it would be like, cool, check that I called my sponsor, you know. I mean, like things like that. So it's still just not like perfect AA. And I'm sure if you got sober, you relate to that one, dude. So like, check. Like, I don't want to get honest with anybody, man. I didn't want to, you know, and this is like alcoholism to me. I'm like, man, I didn't want to tell people my reservations. Why? Because then I couldn't get drunk. Duh. You know what I mean? But people I hung out with like knew what AA was and knew alcoholism, and they'd go, you gotta have reservations. Like, what are they? It's cool, you know. Like, and then I knew. This is gonna sound like really kind of weird and stupid, but it works for me. I would have this like thing over here that I was like, cool, this is like alcoholism. It's so like not ownership at all, but it's okay. I don't care. It worked for me. So. I mean, you know, it was a thing, and I was like, cool, I just got to, like, talk about it and, like, tell on it when I don't want to. Because, I mean, every day, it was rough for me. I wanted to get drunk every day for a long time. And even being in AA, I didn't want to call people when I had, you know, a week sober and go, I'm thinking about drinking, man. That's all I want to do. I didn't want to say that because it was, like, not good. You're, like, in AA. Like, if you, somehow you weren't, like, I don't even know what I thought. Like, it wasn't right. I shouldn't think. I don't know, not willing. I have no idea, you know. But they would go on the other line, like, of course you want to drink, Megan. You have alcoholism. But through me calling, I would get a little bit of relief. And I knew that much of, like, self-honesty that I could sit there and go, I know if I just sit here with this, I'm a dead woman. Like, I knew that much. I was going to end up taking a drink. I could talk myself into taking a drink like that. You know, and I started to see that and, like, realize that, so I had to, like, tell somebody when I wanted to take a drink. And I would also, you know, they were like, well, go pray. You know, I grew up Catholic, went to Catholic school for a little hot minute until we moved to Decatur. And the only thing I walked out of there with is, which is great, I got married in the Catholic Church, is that there was something out there that loved me more than I loved me. That's literally what I know people have, like, Catholic, oh, they beat me. I have no idea, man. I don't know what they were doing, what they were listening to. I don't know. But what I heard was, like, there's something. He likes you, loves you better than you. Live by these principles, and your life will be good. Well, guess what? I didn't live by any of those principles, and my life sucked. And same with AA. Like, if I don't live in certain principles, dang, I love that thing in the 12 and 12. Anyway, at the beginning of the 12 and 12, it says something about, I'm going to botch it, but it says something about if these 12 steps being principle in nature will, if practice, will expel the obsession for the alcoholic, enable the sufferer something to be happy, usefully, and whole, or something like that, right? I just botched the crap out of it. So you can look it up in your 12 and 12 because it's there. That, to me, every time I read that, I'm like, there's hope, man. I just got to practice this. The problem was I never did any of that stuff they were talking about in mass when I go to confession. Don't ever go to confession. I'm like, I'm not telling this guy shit, man. Like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, I'm going to get busted. Like, why would I tell you something? Like, what? That doesn't make any sense, you know? I remember constantly thinking that stuff. I had to be in recess, totally random story. I got held back in, like, recess for, like, two, just resentful, man. Because I could not remember. I can't even remember what it's called right now. But when you say all this stuff right before you go into confession, it was, like, three paragraphs. Somebody Catholic? Anyway. So, anyway, you have to say it's, like, three paragraphs before you then go and follow these are my sins, right? I could not, I mean, I'm, like, can't read. I couldn't read when I got sober, for real. And so I would be sitting there in second grade trying to learn this. I'm like, I just can't get this, man. And the nun made me stay inside, you know, for recess for like 2 weeks. Somehow I have no idea if I just, she was like, forget it, you're useless. You know what I mean? We're just going to send you on your way. But I remember being like shaking, terrified, like, okay, man, I got to like say it right for this guy to like hear my thing. I'm like, I don't even care. I don't like you. I don't want you to hear any of my stuff anyway. Like, why am I here? You know? But just a side story. Because I was like, God, I was so resentful. I was sitting in that chair. I was so angry. Like, why are you making me sit here missing recess to learn some stupid... Who cares, man? Like, I'm just going to say what I did or I'm not. Like, I just didn't get it. But anyway, so AA, you know, I do like it because I can just call my sponsor. I'm like, here's the deal, man. I don't want to tell you. I have something going on right now. I'll talk to y'all. I have something going on right now. I have an inkling what she might say, which is great because it's always not what she says. So I'm dusting myself right now saying that to you guys. But, like, you know, and I'm like, God, I don't want to call her and talk about it. Okay. You know what I mean? As, like, 20 years sober, man, I don't want to talk about it again. I mean, dude. It, you know, but she's probably going to say something different than I think she's going to say. But it doesn't matter. Of alcoholism, it's always hinders me from, like, from doing the thing I need to do that's going to make me better. And that's just... What? Even 20 years sober, like, that's what I battle with today, is being in principle and, like walking through some fear and having some humility and, like, being honest with my sponsor. I mean, there's, like, three principles right there that, like, I need to live by. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I'm not, like, danger, like, a drinking, don't get me, I mean, I'm not that cocky. I know, like, a couple, you know, take me a hot minute to get drunk and I would get drunk. It's not, like, this crucial thing, like, that I'm, like, murdered somebody or killed my dog, you know. It's not that, but it's still something that the path in AA has gotten narrow for me, where I know I need to talk to her about it. It's something, and I'm not a good judge even today of necessarily 100% what's right and what's right for me. I still have this alcoholism thing that, I mean, it's gotten a lot better. I'm not a dumbass. It's gotten a lot better in AA of what I know is right, wrong, things like that. Willing to, like, do God's will and, like, turn it over. What is that? What does that look like? How do you turn something over? How do you meditate to get answers? Right, you know, all this stuff. But still, I have alcoholism. I still have to have a sponsor that I talk to and that knows what I'm up to. Because I was reading another thing. I was reading the other, again, I think it's right in that. So maybe it's more about alcoholism. I don't know. So we'll just call it that. And it was saying that the mental twist before the drink, you know? And I was like, that's what I still have. I still have that. And I know that to my core, like the... I'll stop calling my sponsor. I'll get a little sneaky over here. I won't tell someone about that reservation. Or, like, add, you know, a thought about getting drunk. My husband drinks, and there was, like, a couple beers, like about a month ago, in there, because he keeps them in the refrigerator. I mean, it's not a deal for me usually. And then, but for some reason, this thing was like, yeah, it'd be all good. You know what I mean? And then I was like, what? But it's like, dude, I just got to tell somebody that because it freaks me out. Today, the fact that it freaks me out is a miracle. Because that shit did not freak me out when I got sober. I was like, y'all are all like losers, and I'm going to get drunk. I'll see you later. You know what I mean? Like, so, but I still have to, like, say that stuff. And to me, that's the mental twist that will start to occur. I'll start to think that I can run my life. I got some answers going on over here. I'm good. I don't need to, like, go reach out to that new girl, dude. I don't need to go tell my story. I need to break my arm, so I don't have to come here. You know, I mean, just things will start happening to where it could be 6 months. I have no idea. I don't, you know, I'll be honest. I don't think I'd get drunk in, you know, like a month. I don't think that. I've been crazy, crazy and untreated alcoholism in AA before and didn't get drunk. And that was probably, just to ball it all up, I would say it was like a 6 month, 8 month period of just bottoming out in AA. Not to freak you out, but even bottoming out in AA, it's coming. So don't worry. AA's got you. Everybody relates. You will probably bottom out in AA, and it's going to be okay. Just call your sponsor, have some people. And thank God for that. Like, I had set myself in a position that even then at 8 years sober. Sorry, y'all. I didn't know what I was going to say, so it just kind of comes out what comes out. So, but I, you know, 8 years sober, bottoming out, AA, thank God I had set myself in a position where people knew who and what I was, like, what I'm up to, like, some kind of a record of, like, my people that know what's going on with me, good, bad, ugly, and different. It's, they know, man, and that saved my life, because at that point, for me, always with drinking, I'm always looking for relief, you know, and I'll either kill myself in AA, I'll either do AA, or I'm going to take a drink. And that really is, like, my options today. Somebody at Biscayne, God, they said it so good. guys can, I feel like, can talk so much better than females. They just kind of put it all together, and it's all cute in this great box. We're like, that's it, you know? And we're like, over here, and then over here, this feeling, and then it's just kind of scattered. I love, and that's what he was saying, the co-ed thing. And I got sober talking to men. That is not, that's a false thing in Alcoholics Anonymous, man. I got sober with some old dudes helping me, talking to me, old school AA, males, you know, chick sponsors. Not that I do that. I do have a chick sponsor. But, I mean, people, you know, they're creepy. You know they're creepy, man. I knew when I was at the bar, like, who everybody was in that bar. It wasn't like I didn't know, couldn't scan the room and didn't know. You know what I mean? So if you're hanging out with creepy people, that's just because you're hanging out with creepy people and you want to hang out with creepy people. So you can, like, seek help from people in AA. You know, other opposite sex. That, y'all know what I'm talking about. So, anyway, I don't even know where I was going with that. But so, 8 years sober. You know, again, it was AA and trying to find out, because it, like, just changed. Like, my AA changed so much. I was living in Atlanta, then went to the West Coast, and then came here. I left, like, all my friends in AA. The guy I thought I was gonna marry. God was like, you know, the snow globe. My friend goes like, man, God just said, girl, you think you got it? And went like this, like a snow globe in your life. And went, there you go. Have fun with that. You know, and I was like, damn, like real reliance on God. Like, oh my gosh, you know, just nothing. You know, and they talked to me. And I remember them talking about that when I first got sober. Stick with winners in order to grow. Anything you put in front of your sobriety, you're going to lose it. So your sobriety better be number one and always stay number one. And not that it wasn't really high on my list, but things got really skewed out when I was out in the West Coast. And then coming back to Atlanta AA, it was literally come to Jesus time. And it was between you and God, you have to live by these principles, and there's nothing that's going to excel that obsession but God. And I had seven and a half right before I left Arizona. That obsession kicked in. I didn't take a drink. I didn't take any drug, man. And that obsession kicked in, and it was on. Like, I wanted to drink so... Hey, just saw you. Hey, I wanted to drink so bad. I mean, it was like ridiculous. Everybody's like, oh man, do another four step, you know, like go to a bunch of meetings. I went, you know, man, I'm like, wah! You know, like fix ourselves. You know what I mean? Even in AA, you're like, just keep reading the 12 and 12. Like, man, I'm just missing something. It's like, you know, people are like, Megan, just put it all down. Like, it is, the self-knowledge is never going to fix you. That's not the answer. It's God. And, and I ran around with rat race for like a month. I was just so terrified because it would not shut up. I needed relief. And it was either going to be suicide or A, it was going to have to do something here and like do its magic again. And I was sitting in my car outside our apartment. I lived with a bunch of crazy girls. And they were sitting outside in my car. And I was like, God, I need this obsession removed. Or like, and I, you know, I used the F word then. And I was like, I am. I'm like screwed. And it was gone. That is not my experience the first time, you know, the first like eight, 9 months. I had to work my ass off for that obsession to be removed. I had to get a sponsor, I had to get honest, I had to help people, I had to pick up loogie cigarette butts. You know what I mean? I had to like pray, I had to like learn how to meditate, I had to ask questions, I had to call when I didn't want to call. I mean, I had to do so many things. I had to like be nice to my family when I didn't want to be nice to my family. I had to not hang out with people I wanted to suck good feelings from. I had to do a lot of things, principle-wise, for that obsession to like go away. That's my experience at that beginning of that 12 and 12. And this time, for whatever reason, at 7.5 years sober, when the obsession came back, I prayed and I mean, it was like, this gig's up, man. Like, it's that or I'm done. And it was removed. So I don't know. Some people have that experience when they first get sober. Some people, like, they call it the educational variety. I don't know. Mine was take certain actions, and slowly but surely, like, I got a little better and I didn't want to get drunk. And one day I was like 9 months sober doing what I was supposed to do at night, which is like thinking about my day, my inventory, you know, making sure we're good. We didn't really like cuss anybody out too bad here. You know, like I'm not being too shady on anything that I need to call my sponsor about, all that stuff. And I realized, I was like, I didn't think about drinking all day today. And that for me was like, I get the chills every time, because that's what I needed removed. so that I could actually like breathe again and like go to sleep at night. And it happened for me. But there were so many things that I was taught to do and had to do. And I didn't want to do a lot of things. Again, I've been telling y'all, I did not want to hang out with certain people. You know, I was like, they're so annoying. You know, like, I mean, it just are, man. You're just going to have people in AA that are super freaking annoying. You don't like whatever. And just the chatter in my head that kept talking about y'all so that y'all were just a little further away. And then I was isolated. Janet's word. Isolated in that. She always says isolated. It's awesome. Isolated enough, and then what would my option be? To take a drink, you know? And I just had, you know, it was like opposite day. Whatever my head was saying, I just kind of did the opposite. And I would also get down on my knees and pray. I prayed a lot when I first got sober. I still do. It's just had to be like in the morning. But even last week, man, I was like super squirrely, man. It was like the thing that I need to call my sponsor about, you know? There I am. Of course, I managed it because I just get crazier and crazier, you know. But I was like, cool. So I'm like praying, you know, throughout the day, like in the bathroom, a quick little, you know, relieve it here. I'm about to go hang out with somebody that's new. Like, God, relieve it. I got to go, you know, let me go get into them. And then whatever. So, I, you know, first get sober, that's how it was too. And I would like get on my knees and I would stay down there until I felt better. I really would. If it was like 5-10 minutes, I just needed that little bit of like space. You know, a little bit of relief so I could get up. And people were like, great, now go hit your knees, ask God for help, you know, for help remove the obsession, and like go clean your toilet. You know, my house was like immaculate when I got sober. There's all these things that they were like, I wanted to sleep in bed. I mean, I just wanted to lay in bed and go, forget it. You know what I mean? Like, I just forget it. I mean, that's literally how I felt that way for you. I would say, yeah, not to freak y'all out, but years in AA. And it really was, I just did, you know. And then sometimes I wouldn't do, and the pain would get so great that I finally would call my sponsor and cop, man, like, dude, I haven't talked to anybody or done anything at all, man. I want to drink so bad and I hate all of you, you know, like, this is where I'm at. And it's like, of course you're there, you know. And then we'd walk through it, but again, I'd have relief, and then I'd get a little bit of hope, and then it'd be like, cool, Megan. You know, and I would, it's not even like I was like not willing. I hate that when people say that in AA. It's like, oh, they're just not willing. And I'm like, really? Like, okay. Like, I don't know anybody. Like, my father's still very active alcoholic. And I don't think he like wanted to live in a tent, man. Like, he's just not willing. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, sign me up, dude. Sign me up for a shitty life. You know, like, what? I don't believe that. I think his alcoholism has something to do with, for me, willingness. Like, you're just willing to get sober. Sure, like, willing to call my sponsor, get enough pain, but like, that's what got me in the door. That's just not my experience of alcoholism. It talked to me for a long time. It wanted me to take a drink. It wanted me to not seek help. It wanted me to judge all of you so I don't have to listen to you. You know, it wanted me to take a drink. I don't know. Just wanted me to do a lot of things so I could just, you know, end up taking a drink. And so for me, when people say that, and I'm like, oh, these kind of people's death went, because that's how I felt. I was like, I'm not willing if I want to drink, you know. I'm not willing if I don't, like, I like captain and do everything perfect in AA. It's just not, I know, again, like the what I was reading, and it's, I think it's into the to the employers where it talks about that, like the guy, he told three guys that he worked with that he had to let them go after a couple, you know, instances of them drinking or whatever. One like hung himself, and the other two, I can't remember right now, anybody knows, but they all three killed themselves. So then he finally figured out, like, hey man, it's not just you suck, you can't stop drinking, so you're fired. That's just not the solution. That never would have worked for me. That's just not real for me. That's not my truth of what alcoholism is. I'm like a sick individual and need help and need people to spend time with me and explain what it is. I'm not saying like if you do that, everybody's going to get sober, but like that's what happened for me. People stuck by me even though I was crazy, wasn't willing, didn't look willing sometimes, wasn't honest sometimes, you know, was managing my life, and they kept hanging out with me and like going, it's cool, you have alcoholism. I have no idea, what time is it? What's that? What time does that say, somebody? At 10 minutes? Yes, it could almost be done. So, I, you know, so getting sober and then being out there, coming back here, and, you know, again, I have a home group. I don't think it's like the best home group. I don't believe that. You know, people are like, oh, the best home group. I'm like, okay. I got, you know, my, okay. You know, they knock me down in group conscience all the time, man. Like, so annoying right now. I have this thing where, you know, but I love my group. It's like, you know, it's just, but it's just AA, man. We're all just still doing our deal. And I picked that, 'cause it took me a long time. I lived in East Cobb and got custom out there. Man, I was felt like I was dying. It's like, where's all this new blood, man? Like, I need some, like, action, you know. And there's like a trinkle newcomer here and there, dude. That's just not what I was used to. Moving back to Decatur, I was like, people dying, yes, you know, like, let's do some AA again, you know. But that rocks my soul, man. When I hang out with somebody new, I'm like, it refreshes everything in my head. I remember, like, how serious, what the hell is going on here, man. Like, my soul's on the line. And, like, if that's on the line, I'm going to, if I need to make a choice and start getting to work here, or I'm going to, like, take a drink, and there's going to be some sad people in this world. Not that I'm that important, but there are. I'm going to do some damage to people in their lives if I don't do this. But anyway, so I moved back down here, and it took me a while to find a home group because, you know, I was like, this group, not good, and, you know, I got 18 years, man. I talked to my sponsor, y'all. So we talked about, like, home group and all that. And I'm like, yeah, this one, that. So I picked this group that's, like, on a Tuesday night. And it's a really old meeting in Atlanta. And I knew that it needed, for me, again, I'm not it in AA or in my group. But, you know, there's some things, like, hey, we kind of needed a GSR, y'all. Right, you know, hey, kind of neat, you know, the things of what a group makes in a good, healthy AA group, and you know, it's just funny that, 'cause I still get voted down. I, like, pass the sheet around for people, anybody. You can just, this could be this meeting, like, here, pass the sheet around. Who wants to chair a meeting? And I'm like, no, every week, you know, it's like, but it's great because I get to, like, surrender and go group conscience, man. They voted me out of that. They were like, not out of group conscience. I was like, hey, what do you think about me? Like, had someone chair, like, for a whole month. And then somebody, like, got a discussion leader, like, another group, you know. And there's a reason they do it. And I would kind of throw out, like, reasons why I think they do it. Like, because they like to say, like, the serenity prayer at a lot of meetings in Decatur. And I'm like, we say the All Father. But if you just let Joe Schmo get up there and lead out the meeting, then, you know, then your meeting's not ending the way you end your meeting, blah, blah, blah. And then they're all like, nah. And I was like, well, there we go. You know, so... Hey, but it's great. It's like, whatever, my opinion, great. I can get a little frustrated and have to turn it over and go, hey, whatever, I'll get there one day and be super sweet and nice, maybe. Probably not. But you know, so it's not, like, the best, but I love it because it's, like, new people. There's always something to, like, work on. That helps. It really does. As much as that is so annoying to me, I kind of like it. I'm like, you know, we'll, like, figure it out, or they won't, and... whatever. It just helps me let go, I guess, and, like, let go of some of the, like, the reins of being so, like, crazy and like, structured, there's the word, in AA. So, but I have got married a couple of years ago and met Patrick here in Atlanta when I moved back here. Bless his heart. And we've been married, we just celebrated, like, 3 years, right? Yeah, 3 years. So we're together forever. Commitment's not an issue for me. Just kidding. We've been together like 11 years. So about time I got married. But I just, you know, again, fear is it. And I have to talk to people about that kind of stuff. Because even that, I mean, that right there is a good example of still having alcoholism for me and not having a lot of God in my life and running it. Is I would have a lot of fears about us, and then it hindered us getting married for years, man. I mean, years. Because he was in, it was me that was like, you know. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because now, not that I think it's a consequence God's given me or anything like that. We've been trying to have children for 2.5 years now, and I'm not getting pregnant. And it was like, oh, dude, just looking back, like, man, you know, not that I think God's punished. I don't think that. But I think there's a little piece of, like, lessons learned, man. Like, let's just not be so bogged down with so much fear that is dictating my decisions to, like, have the life and live a life of, like, real freedom. And to me, that's not, like, freedom. I'm not in jail. Like, freedom from, like, fears and, like, my head, man, you know, and this emotional, like, turmoil that I, like, put myself through or that I have. And that being, like, the freedom. So it's just funny because I was like, of course, you know, just another lesson learned that I really do need to make sure I'm, like, talking to people, listening to people, and, like, turning things over to God and making sure. Hey, I haven't even looked over there. Hey, you know, making sure I have God in my life and trying to my best of my ability to surrender to His will in my life. So I love AA. Thanks.
Yeah. See, that's what I love about AA is getting to meet cool people like her. Ed. Come on up.
Hey, hey. Here in Napa, and there are other places you go to who got chips, sis. You try the same shit different day. Once our way of life, white chip. Anybody got a 30-day clean and sober? How about 3 months? Red chip. 9 months. I mean, 90 days, sorry. Got to give them on that one. 6 months, yellow chip. Green chip, 9 months. Any years or multiples thereof, blue chip.
You didn't even get a hug. I got it for you. All right, this is Scott. He's got 13 years today. All I've got, so I've known Scott really since he got sober at Shady One, 81, and whatever you want to call it. Then, it's a good thing. It'll save your life, dude, especially if you're super, super squirrely. You need 10 o'clock, dude. And you're like about to get drunk. Those are really hard times to get through, so. 10 o'clock over there. Anyway, then Scott, you know, I love Scott. He's very real. And he's one of those people, like, in a meeting, I was talking about the guys that some people are like, dude, is he talking again? You know? And I know people feel that way about me, too, sometimes. Like, gosh, she's so annoying. You know? So whatever. But with him, when he explains something, I get it. He, like, breaks it down all smart-like. You know? And that's where I think a lot of people don't like, because he, like, talks. You know, when people are smart, it tends to be speaker. People are smart, you're like, dude, just get to the point. Come on. You know? That's how I've always been. But with him, whenever he explains something, I get it, even though it's, like, in smart terms. But he, like, breaks it all down very logical and, like, you know, talks about, like, comes up with, like, a scenario of how that thing fits that. And then you're like, oh, it makes sense. I'm, like, horrible with that. Like, telling stories to make a principle make sense, horrible. But him, he's very good at it. And you're just a really good friend, loyal friend. And I'm so proud of you. I love you.
Thank you, Megan. And you didn't mangle that thing, happily and usefully whole, because you live it. So it came out right, in the right order. Hi, I'm Scott. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Scott.
You know, it's 13 years. It's kind of like I just got a cookie for doing what I should have been doing the whole time anyway. It's like, if you knew me, yeah, maybe that guy shouldn't drink, you know. But I sort of know now, this really isn't about me. I'd be happy to stay back there or stay at home and not pick this up. But, you know, it's for the person who's still squirming or they're thinking about going to the liquor store. It's important to know when I came in and I met somebody earlier who was really there that day. And the doctors told me at Northside, even if you quit drinking yesterday, you're going to die. I mean, it's just too late. And, you know, I'm standing here in front of you 13 years later, a little bit sane. That was funny. Oh, bless the 10 o'clock meetings, man. I couldn't even sit in a chair those first 3 weeks. I just paced back and forth in the back in the dark. And every now and then I'd miss the wall and run right into it. And hear a thump. And I was like, that's God. Should we check on him? But, you know, that's I lived in a clubhouse. I lived in AA. I went to 4 or 5 meetings a day. You know, it's not... I drank when I'm happy. I drank when I'm sad. I drank because I couldn't stop drinking. And so for that, to not have a drink for 13 years is a big deal. But, you know, I'm on this sort of part-time spiritual journey now. And you know what? It's important to know 13 years is nothing. They're monks living in monasteries, living a spiritual way of life full-time for 40 years, and they're just getting it, you know? So it's important to give yourself a break, too. It's like, wow, 3 years sober, I'm not a spiritual giant yet. I don't have all the answers. I must not be doing something. You know, a good way to know if you're doing something right or not is you didn't take a drink today. It's not enough, but it starts there. It has to start there. And when all else fails, pick up the phone and go help somebody. Because that will get you out of yourself. That'll keep you sober when none of the other stuff works. But so 13 years ago, I was a dead man, and you guys saved my life. So thank you.
He sat down. Anybody else for white chip? Second chances? All right. Thank God for the chip you have. Thank you one and all for joining the Blue Chip Speakers meeting tonight.
Change is coming on.